Every Sunday at 9 a.m. Bible study on Wednesday. Doors open at 5 p.m. Class begin at 5:30 p.m. in person at Zoom. Tithes and offerings may be put in the box as you enter the sanctuary or before service or as you leave. October announcements. October the 26th. Today is Pink Sunday worship service. Celebrating survivors and to remember those we loved and lost. October 31st, Hallelujah Fest, 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. And Countess has more to let you know about the Hallelujah Fest.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are preparing for our Hallelujah Night. And we're looking for everyone to come out and participate, adults who's young at heart, as well as all the children. This is our way of expressing our celebration for our children, even though it's not Halloween, it's our Hallelujah Night. So I wanted to ask anybody that can bring a bag of candy. You can leave it down at the church here with Mamie. Or bring it with you Friday when you come. Thank you.
coming up events. UMBC 2026 officers, all ministers that have office are asked to please submit your 2026 officers to Mamie, the pastor secretary, no later than Wednesday, November 12th. Hard copies of the election office form are available in the church office. The election is also available online through church website, umbcchurch.org, under ministries. 2026 Announcement Clerk Ministry. The Announcement Clerk Ministry is preparing for 2026 rosters participants. Announcements are read each Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Please contact Alicia Duffy if you are interested in being a member of this ministry. Sister Duffy may be reached at aduffy@yahoo.com. Please provide your name, email, and phone number in your email. UMB Church Pastor Anniversary. Please join us on Sunday, November 16th, during morning service as we celebrate our pastor's 8th anniversary. The special guest speaker that day will be Reverend John Horton, pastor of Macedonia Baptist Church, East St. Louis, Illinois. The UMBC Care Ministry, the purpose of this UMBC Care Ministry of our church is to strengthen relationships with our congregation by providing spiritual support, emotional support, and encouragement, and supportive presence as needed by our congregation. Brother Herb has an announcement. Brother Herb is coming to you with his announcement.
Good morning, Union Missionary Baptist Church and visitors. My name is Deacon Herbert Hudson, Jr., and I'm the layman president at this time for this year and next year. On November 1st, we are having our quarterly meeting, and we're asking that all the men of the church, and I'm not just saying the men of Union Missionary Baptist Church, but the men of the church are all invited to meet us here at, hold on a second here, at 9 o'clock a.m. What we're doing at that time is, at this quarterly meeting, we're going to be having us going over the schedule for events of last year, things that we want to do, what we can improve on, and look at our objectives, look at things that we said we were going to do, what we got accomplished and what we didn't accomplish. But I can truly say this year we have accomplished more than on previous years that we have done before. And it was through the help and consideration of the men of this church to have this ministry go forward. And we ask for your continuous involvement in this ministry, because it can only get better when God says it is. So with that, I would say we hope and pray that we see you out there. There's two aspects of the layman's ministry. One is that what the pastor does on the second Saturday of every month, and one that we do every three quarters. His enhancement has been excellent. It has actually gotten out the numbers of the men to come out and worship and commune and connect with us. So let's continue the progress that we have. I'll be with you. You be with me, and we'll be all be going down the same road together. Thank you so very much for listening to me.
That concludes our announcement for the day. We're going to turn ahead to the pulpit. Pastor Coleman.
Good morning, Union. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in, from this day forth and even forevermore. Ain't it good for the opportunity to come together again where maybe give the Lord praises on this morning? We thank him because we can look to him, because our help comes from him. Our strength comes from him. Our hope comes from the Lord. And for that, we celebrate on this morning. We welcome those of you, both members and friends, to this worship opportunity. For those who may yet be in the parking lot ministry, we welcome you as well. We're going to ask now that we will stand together as we open our service with our Lord's Prayer. Let us read in unison. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I'm going to ask that you remain standing for just a moment as we do our scripture reading for this morning, which will be coming from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, 37th verse. Let us read together. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Union, let us love God, and let us love one another. You may be seated now. I'm going to hand it over to our deacons ministry, who will be leading us in our devotion this morning. Let's welcome them.
Good morning again. On this blessed day, we're going to start our scripture with Matthew 5, King James, beginning with the first verse. And it reads as thus, And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I read for the reading pleasure Matthew 5, 1 through 12. May God add that blessing to the reading and hearing and doing of his word. Amen.
So grateful for how you continue to give us the opportunity of worship, fellowship, and to come and feast off the Word of God. Lord, we ask that you continue to provide for us the spiritual stamina that we need in order to help sustain us along this Christian journey. Lord God, we just can't thank you enough for all your blessings, small and big. Lord, we thank you for the challenges, the ups and downs. Thank you for our trials, tribulations. We thank you, Lord, for the temptations that come our way. For in your word you said, none of us would be tempted above that we're able. But you've already provided a way that we can escape, that we would be able to bear that temptation. Help us to reconnect, Father. Help us to grow closer to you. For Calvary, you took all the excuses away that we might have a quality relationship with you daily. Ask that our light shines, that we be a beacon unto those that are still in darkness. Father, I ask that we be the effective witnesses, have the boldness to proclaim Christ as our Savior, so that others can see a difference in our peculiarity of people of Christ. God, we thank you. We ask that you just continue to bless you and you bless our pastor as he breaks the bread of life today, that we may be able to feast, that he may be able to spiritually provide the nourishment for our bodies in our minds, Father, most of all our hearts, to give us the perseverance to run a little while longer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory we
Try that again. Good morning, Union. You all look amazing in your pink today. As a country, we celebrate and acknowledge breast cancer awareness in October. And here at Union, we want to do the same thing. We want to celebrate those who are survivors and those who are in the middle of their journey. We want to acknowledge those that we still love, but we lost. And we also want to advocate for what you should do next. I had a few words, but I found a friend online who was a survivor, and she said the Lord spoke to her and told her this is her season of advocacy, and she needs to share her story. So I'm going to let her share in her own words. Oh, 1 second, sorry.
To remind everyone how important it is to get your mammogram and to listen to your body. I started getting mine at 35 because my mother, a retired nurse, always stressed the importance of annual checkups. Breast cancer runs in my family. We've had both survivors and losses, and I am a two-time survivor myself. In 2018, I was diagnosed with stage 0 DCIS and chose to have a double mastectomy because I carried the BRCA gene. Then 6 years later, in 2024, I was diagnosed again. I found out the cancer had spread into my lymph nodes. This time, I went through chemo, radiation, and infusion. Praise God, as of August 2025, I am showing no cancer. I share this to say early detection truly saves lives. Last year, I only found out because I spoke up about itching under my arms at a doctor's appointment. If I hadn't listened to my body, I might not be here today. So please, get your mammogram every year. Listen to your body and take care of yourself. Thank you.
So please get your mammograms, listen to your body, and take care of yourself.
Good morning again, everybody. Each year, there are thousands of women who don't survive the breast cancer. We would like to take just this moment to remember all of our ones that have lost. As a daughter of a woman who has passed from breast cancer, it always means a little bit more to me each year. So seeing everyone in this pink, and the men and the women and the children, it's just kind of a vision I've had for the last few years. And now I've had some other ladies who have joined me in this effort to make sure we all fight this fight together. In recognizing those who have lost, their spirit lives on in all of us. Even though they are no longer here, their memory lives through each and every one of us, through your mothers, your daughters, your sisters, your children, your cousin, or your best friend. Everyone knows someone that has had this loss. As we light these lights, we take a moment to remember those who we have lost in this fight. But at the same time, we want to recognize those who have survived. If you are a survivor, just simply raise your hand so everyone can see that you can overcome this disease. And we want to say thank you to those who have survived. This is to let you know you are not defined by your diagnosis. You are defined because you are victorious. As the song said, victory is mine, and you have declared that victory is mine. Now it's our job to go out and spread this word that we fight together, can conquer this. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Time to look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Those who are able, you're welcome to stand with me as we look to the Lord in prayer and petition Him according to His abundant mercy and grace. Amen. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank You for another opportunity to come before Your presence, Lord God. We thank You, dear Lord, because You have been our help, dear Father, through every generation, Lord God. Even from our earliest existence, dear Father, You've been right there for us, Lord God, and we want to say thank You for that. Father God, we want to say thank You for calling us to know You, Father God, and thank You for this opportunity for relationship, a covenant relationship with You, oh Lord. Father God, we pray for Your blessing on everyone under the sound of my voice today, Lord God. We pray that You would touch us in a special way, Lord God. There are many concerns and cares that are represented in this place, dear Father, that my feeble voice cannot lift. But You know, oh God. Father God, You know the very hairs of our heads. So, Lord God, we pray that You would touch us according to our need on this morning. For we indeed put our hope in You, Father God. We thank You for the opportunity to stand with this nation as we recognize breast cancer awareness, Lord God. And we thank You because as believers in Christ, Lord God, it is a little different. Father God, we thank You, dear Father, that we can celebrate those who have lost, dear Father, who died in You, Lord God. Dear Father, that we can celebrate that they're in Your blessed arms, Father God, celebrating eternal life with You, Lord God. We can praise and thank You, dear Father, even for those who are struggling with the situation right now, Father God, that we have hope in You, dear Lord, that You can just touch them in a mighty way, Father God, for You are indeed a doctor who has never lost a patient, Lord God, and we know, dear Father, that You are able to comfort them, dear Lord, even in their darkest hours, so Father God, we pray that You would just be with them, Lord God, and dear Father, for those who celebrate victory on today, Lord God, we thank You for the testimony to Your goodness, Lord God, for giving them a voice to continue to proclaim, to name Your praises, Lord God, and to encourage others, dear Lord, that You've extended their walk, dear Father, that they may praise Your name. Father God, we thank You so much for Your goodness on today. Lord God, we pray, dear Father, for all of those, dear Father, today who come before You, Lord. We pray for those who suffer bereavement this week, dear Lord. We pray, for, dear Father, for the Collins family, Lord, for the Thompson family, Lord, and for all those, dear Lord, that maybe are not spoken on today. We pray that You will be with them and comfort them in the loss of their loved ones, Lord. And we pray that You would just bring us together as the body of Christ to love on them, dear Father, and care for them and supply their needs, dear Father, according to Your abundant grace that flows through us. Lord God, we pray for this Union Missionary Baptist Church, Lord God. We pray for our pastor, dear Lord, Dr. Williams, that You would just continue to be with him. Dear Father, give him strength. Give him vision, Lord God, and help him to continue to fight the good fight of faith, dear Lord, that You called him to in this place. Lord God, please continue to be with us, dear Father, as this light on the hill, dear Father, telling this entire world about a Savior who can save anybody. Lord God, we love You so much. We thank You for all of Your many blessings, dear Father. It's in for these and many other blessings we thank You and we praise You. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Let every heart say together, amen. You may be seated today as I hand it over to our pastor, Dr. U.D. Williams.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Come on now, God is worthy. He's worthy of all the praise, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Truly our God is worthy not of some of the praise, but of all the praise. We want to acknowledge on today the awareness of Pink Sunday breast cancer. And also I just want to add all cancer. And we want to just thank God for His amazing grace. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for honoring those who have battled. Amen. We want to thank God for each and every one of you for coming on out today. I'm asking, we've had some extra stuff on the program on today. You all do well. You don't look at your watch as much. Amen. Amen. Since COVID, but I may need a few more minutes today to work. Amen. 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 Give me a few more minutes on today. If you have your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 38. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go straight into it. Amen. Amen. We know your time is precious. Don't want to rush God. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 1 through 6. Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah, that's Old Testament, y'all. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 1 through 6. If you have your Bibles and you would like to stand, you're more than welcome to stand. That's Jeremiah. I'll be reading from King James Version. If yours sounds a little bit different, that may be the reason why. Bible records, chapter 38 of Jeremiah. Then Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah, the son of Peshur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Peshur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, thus said the Lord. This is what Jeremiah said. Thus said the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus said the Lord, this is what the Lord said, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylonian army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we ask, or we beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. And then the final verse said, then took they Jeremiah and cast him into a dungeon cistern of Malchiah, the son of Hemalek, that was in the court of prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire, that's mud. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire, the mud. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. I've asked for a few more minutes. If you can just give me a few more minutes today to go to work, because we got to work on this text today. And the title for today is Standing Firm in the Face of Opposition. Standing firm in the face of opposition. I need time to work today because all of us go through some trials and tribulations. All of us have some struggles and all of us have some challenges in our own way. And in our journey of faith, as you walk with your hand in God's hand, and God's hand is in your hand, we often encounter situations that test our resolve, test our character, who we really say that we are. It also tests our commitment to God's calling on our lives. Now, we see this in the Old Testament, and when we see this in the Old Testament, and we see it in the New Testament. God testing and challenging. And when God decides to test and challenge, it's usually through situations that often mean that he is trying to reveal the condition of the person's heart. He's trying to help them build character. He's trying to encourage obedience and for the person who he is testing and challenging to simply trust in God. Yeah, brothers and sisters, standing firm in the face of your problems, standing firm in the face of opposition means simply trust in God. Can somebody help me today? Say trust in God. Oh, that sounds good to me, because you have to say that in your area and neck of the woods. Simply say trust in God. Yeah, in Genesis 22, 1, you will find an example of testing through the experience of Abraham. God evaluated Abraham's faith and his obedience and his trust simply by giving him a challenging request. Abraham was asked, and he was tested by God because he was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. In James chapter 1, you see another example along this theme of the fact of trials and tribulations. And in James 1 chapter 1, we see that trials are not pointless. We go through trials and tribulations for a reason. Our situations, our opposition, our trials serve as a divine purpose to strengthen our faith. It helps us build our Christian character, and it helps us as believers grow into spiritual, mature followers of Christ. We hear people say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. But is there at least four people in here, and I'll make five people in here, that knows that you really know what that means? You've been through some trials and tribulation. You've been through some stuff, and you're not just getting up saying something. You really are a testimony. If it had not been for the Lord, it's all right to take a praise break this morning. If it had not been for the Lord, I don't know about your side, I don't know about their side, but if it had not been for the Lord, oh my, y'all give me some time this morning. Give me some time. Because we need to be reminded, and Romans 8 and 28 reminds us, and we know that all, not some things, not this and that, but all things, I'm going to preach this thing this morning, all things work together for good. Now watch this now, there's a clause there, to them that love God, and to them who are what? Are called according to who? His purpose. Yeah. If you want God to have your back, you need to be walking in his purpose, not your own. I need some time today. Y'all give this preacher some time. And here in the story of Jeremiah in this cistern, this hole here, this container that's supposed to hold water, but they decided it could hold Jeremiah. As recorded in Jeremiah 38, in these first couple of verses here, it gives us some insight into how we can stand firm when we face our experiences of opposition. In other words, what I'm saying, when it's not easy, when you face resistance, when things are not working out for you. Now watch this. We want to explore this passage because it draws lessons from Jeremiah's ability to stand firm in opposition, but he had to display faithfulness during opposition because he was just doing and saying what the Lord told him to say. He didn't do any wrong. Folk just didn't like what he had to say. So he had to stand firm. He had to do it anyway. And there's some people that's not going to like how you live. They even call you a Jesus freak, and you holier than thou, and you also heaven bound, you no earthly good. But can I let you know that that's all right, because God has his hand on you, and you walk in the calling. It's all right to love Jesus. Why? Because Jesus loves you. It's all right to be obedient to God, because when you are obedient and live a life of obedience, that brings blessings that you don't even know that you have. God has brought you out of some stuff, kept you in some stuff. Hey, I'm going to get out your business. God has kept me. Yeah, there's been times in my life that there was some dots and stuff coming my way, and I found out years later that God was having my back. God is faithful, I tell you. He's faithful. And in this text with the prophet Jeremiah had been warning the people, doing what he was told to tell Judah. He just been preaching to them and telling them for years that they continued to just go ahead and do what they want to do. Ain't that the text there? They That's the theme there. They disobeyed God. They heard, but they still disobeyed God. They thought idolatry, serving a God that doesn't see, a God that doesn't feel, and a God that doesn't know. They made political alliances instead of just depending on God. And Jerusalem fell, and the Babylonians is on their way. And he was urging the people to surrender to them as a way to preserve their lives and avoid total destruction. He was just giving them a word from the Lord. Sometimes I feel like Jeremiah. All I can do is just give a word from the Lord. And you can feel like Jeremiah too, is just walking the calling in which God has called you to do. And can I tell you this? You may, I don't know my calling, but I can tell you at least one of your calling. That is to proclaim who Jesus is. That means just make a testimony. Everything else after that will work itself out. But tell the world the good news, the gospel, who Jesus is. And can I tell you the truth? There's some folk that's not going to like it. The world has already set some rules in school and in government places that they don't want to hear all that. But God has a way of touching your tongue and touching your life that you can still share the gospel. Walk in the call to share the gospel. And Jeremiah's message of surrender is seen as an act of treason in this text. The folk hear his word and the city's leaders look at it as treason. He's being a traitor. And because Jeremiah's unpopular message, he was seen as a hindrance and not a help. And can I just tell you that the word of God, when preached clearly without any personal motives, when your Christian life is lived with no personal agenda but with God's agenda, some may think that you're a hindrance. But if they listen to the message that God is sharing, it's really a help. These officials here accuse him of weakening the morale. He's telling them, y'all just go ahead and surrender, and then you can live out of this. God has grace. He has mercy. We can move on. Y'all just go ahead and surrender, and God will take care of us. No, they had it up in their mind. We're going to stand here and fight. In fact, Jeremiah, you stirring up stuff. Talking about all this surrender and things of that nature. In other words, they didn't want to surrender, but God was saying surrender. And there's some things in your life that God is saying surrender, and you just don't want to let go. And I'm letting you know right now, you need to surrender to God's will and God's way. You may not want to give up. You may not want to throw in a towel, but actually giving up and surrendering to God's will. That's what they missed there. That's what they missed is that the officials didn't realize that Jeremiah was saying surrender to God's will. Surrender to God's authority. But all they could do is see that they were surrendering to the Babylonian city, the Babylonian officials, the Babylonian king. But actually when they surrendered, if they would have decided to surrender, they were surrendering. Somebody catch this. Not to the other nation, but to God's will. In God's way. Well, I'm trying to tell this story, and if you're not familiar with it, they didn't say, Jeremiah, thank you for giving that powerful word from the Lord. We're going to surrender. We're going to lay down our swords. No, they threw him in a well, y'all. Threw him in a pit. And not just any pit, but it was a muddy pit. To the point where he sunk down, and they let him down, and he sinks into the mud, and he's left there to die. Yeah, isn't that a message that Jeremiah could give us all there? Is you have an unpopular message, it's going to get you in trouble sometimes. There's consequences to just living for the Lord. And this passage highlights the intense political and spiritual conflict in Jerusalem at this time, where Jeremiah is caught between what God is calling him to speak and the truth of this political realm of powers and things of that nature. And the human will is his message was seen as dangerous and unproductive. But if they would have just done what God has said through Jeremiah, they would have lived to see another day. It also brings up and underscores the desperation and chaos in the city of the Babylonian siege that tightens the leader's point of view. See, that's why we need God. That's why I'm going to throw a plug in for myself. That's why we need a pastor. because a shepherd with a shepherd's heart is because we get caught up in emotions. Somebody, y'all get quiet. Somebody second that emotion. Amen. We get caught up in emotion. And we don't have the vision that God has. And Jeremiah is here in this, and he is just speaking what the Lord says. But they reject God by not living a life of obedience, and they reject God by not listening to the preacher. The preacher has a word that's very clear. Surrender, and everything will be all right. But you know, there's some people that are going to do what they want to do, when they won't do it, how they won't do it. And they dare somebody to say something, something, something. Amen. Amen. But I learned here from Jeremiah's message, on Jeremiah's side, just say what the Lord going to tell you to say. Do what the Lord going to tell you to do. And God will work out those things for people who are resisting him. Now, all that we want to say sometimes, you just say it what you got to say. I'm going to get into that. Is today, my point is to encourage each and every one of us to explore some things. And the first thing is have the courage to speak God's truth, not your opinion. And in order to speak God's truth, you have to know his truth, and his truth is the word of God. But have the courage to speak up on God's truth. I don't care if it's your mama, your daddy, your sister, your brother, your friend from school, your boss. Be willing. I'll speak up. It got quiet up in here. Be willing to speak up God's truth. And in order to do that, you have to know God's truth. Then when you speak up God's truth, the next thing I want to work on is you have to understand, when you have the courage to speak up God's truth, there is a cost to being obedient. There's a cost now. It's going to cost you some things when you be obedient to God. And then the final thing is, even though you have the courage to speak God's truth, and even though it costs some things, the victory in this text is God is faithful to deliver you in spite of. God will deliver you. So as we look at this first point today in this text, I want to look at verse 1 through 3. And what I'm saying in verses 1 through 3 is, my brothers and sisters, have the courage to speak God's truth. I also want to say is, have the courage to live God's life. Live according to how God will want you to live. Have the courage to speak God's truth. If folk get mad at God's truth, let them get mad. Because they're not getting mad at you. They get mad at God. And let them get mad at God. And you can tell them and point in your word and say, thus saith the word. The courage to speak God's truth. Here in Jeremiah verses 1 through 3 I read earlier, we see that Jeremiah is preaching God's message to the people. And it's a word of warning. It's warning them of the impending consequences of their disobedience and their actions. I can already see why the folk got mad, because Jeremiah was telling them about themselves. And I want to let you know that that's what the word of God does. You are a sinful creature. You are broken. You are blemishes. And God's word is light unto you. So God's word is going to tell you about yourself. And God's word is going to tell me about myself. Stop feeling some kind of way about that. And do what God would have you to do according to his word. Now, don't act like these people in the text. Despite them being warned and knowing the potential backlash, Jeremiah faithfully delivers the word of God, and they get bent out of shape. Even in the midst of the desperation and chaos in the city, as the Babylonian siege is tightening up and it's on its way, the leaders who are looking at Jeremiah and hearing this word, they struggle with some things. They struggle with fear. They struggle with pride, and they struggle with indecisiveness. And Jeremiah stands firm in the midst of their fear and in the midst of their pride, in the midst of their indecisiveness, and he gives them a word and he says, surrender. And they said, no, I ain't going to surrender. Don't they know who I am? If there's somebody in here with that kind of spirit, I want to let you know, don't you know who God is? I want to work on that a little bit more. In the Bible, y'all give me a little bit more room, a little bit more room today. It's here in the Bible. I've seen a couple of passages in Joshua 1 and 9. I heard a word that helped us with this today. Have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you in Joshua 1 and 9. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And in Joshua 1 and 9, this verse prepares them to lead, and Joshua to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And as he's to lead them, God says, have I not commanded you, told you to do this? So be strong, be courageous, be not afraid, do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God encourages him, Joshua, to be strong and courageous, assuring that his presence will be with him always. Psalm 27, one of my favorite. 27 and 1. Somebody know a little bit something about this? The Lord is my light. y'all help me. I got the script. I got to keep on going. But the Lord is. This is a happy time right now. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's some more good stuff. You can check that out. Psalm 27 and 1. Man, if I keep on going, I'll keep on going. Amen. And here in Psalm 27, all David is saying is he has confidence in God's protection, which gives him the courage to face his enemies, whoever they are. What am I trying to say is that Jeremiah's courage to speak truth to power, even when it was unpopular, highlights the importance of obedience to God's call. I knew somebody would miss it, but nobody said amen. I said, speak truth to power. You missed it over there. Let me say it one more time. Truth to power. Don't matter who it is. And can I say this? It don't matter if they know your dirt. It doesn't matter if they did the dirt with you. You still need to speak the truth. Wrong is wrong. And that's why there's some folk that know the stuff that I've done, and they did it with me. But God has converted me. And I say, that was then, this is now. Help me, somebody. I did it then, but I'm not going to do it now. Not saying I don't want to, but there's a greater power in me now. Help me, somebody. Stop trying to run away because people know your dirt and know the skeletons in your closet. It's getting quiet up in here. They got skeletons in their closet. Amen. Amen. Still speak truth to power. What do you mean, Reverend? That means bravely confronting and challenging those in positions of authority or influence. It don't matter who they are. With honest, biblically based. That's why I said I need some time. Feedback. And what I want to say is we're in the Old Testament. And you have to keep in mind there's a little theme and a little word, a little option there that Jesus Christ brings in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, it will say eye for an eye, two for a two. Jesus comes and messes it all up. And he says, love. So just don't read the Old Testament and say, I got the permission to tell folk off. I can just tell them they're wrong, Reverend, and they know they're wrong. I'm going to tell them that they're wrong. Then if you say it that way, you've forgotten about Jesus
and how Jesus has touched your heart. Jesus says, tell him. But the root of all of his commands is, oh, let me teach this. The root of his command is love. Just imagine if Jesus gave you what you deserve and he just told you. But he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. For God so loved, that's the elements. We have to remember that when we're going to correct somebody and straighten somebody up, first we need to straighten ourselves out. Give me some time. Make sure we straight. Amen. Make sure you are part of the have sinned. Amen. Have sinned. Yeah, make sure that you've conquered that first. Then you are to, when you're going to reprimand or hurt somebody, make sure that you're going to tell them with love, with compassion, with humility. And I'm going to say it, a good suggestion, and I can give you some more suggestions. A good way to go somebody is saying, have you considered such and such? And such and such. Respect each other. Speak truth to power means confronting people who are acting upon their own self-centered interests and thinking what's best for them than what's best for others. It was best for Jesus to stay on up there in heaven, but he decided to come on in and die for each and every one of us. Jeremiah understood that in this situation that his primary responsibility was to do what God said do. No more, no less. Do what God said to do. Not worry about the approval of people. No. Jeremiah spoke God's truth and message at the appointed time that God had him to speak. The next thing, I'm moving forward. I still need more time. But the next thing on today that we need to look is there's a cost. When you speak in truth of power and you are speaking the word of God, realize that when you speak truth, often there's a cost to it. Jeremiah's experience in this cistern, this well, teaches us about the cost of obedience. In Jeremiah 38, 4 through 6, I read that in your reading. You can look back at it, but the officials were angry. They were a bit out of shape. They were upset by Jeremiah's message. And they threw him in the cistern, and they threw him there to die because they looked at him as a troublemaker. He wasn't going along with the go along. Jeremiah's obedience to God led him in a dire situation. He was facing death. Now, many of us say, Reverend, you're going to the extreme here. I ain't going to face no death. You could. But let's be more realistic in our life. You may lose some friends. You may get stopped being invited to certain parties. I'm going to talk about me as pastor. You may come in and just say hello to folk and folk mad. Amen. Because you just done said what the word of God has said. But you just need to do what God has asked you to do because God is going to work it out. Whatever it is, God will work it out. There's a cost, and I'm standing here. It's even messed with my family being called to pastor. It's even messed with my midnight hours. It's even messed with this and that. There's some things I would like in my family, but because of the call, I have to choose the call and not my family. I have to choose the call and not other things. Folk gonna see what they see and do what they do, but God will take care of the people who walk in disobedience and serve their own self-interest. That's on your job. That's in school. That's in your house. Wherever it is, God will take care of those who do whatever they're going to do. You've heard me say this. You can't control how people treat you. But you can control how you treat folks. Ooh, let me get on back to this. The cost of following God's call can be significant. And Jeremiah reminds us that obedience to God does not guarantee that you always gonna have friends, you're always gonna get a pat on the back, and always gonna have an easy path. Instead, it often involves sacrifice and hardship. The Bible often speaks about the cost of obedience to God, showing that following God requires sacrifice. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be rejection by others. Folk not going to hear you. Come on, Luke 9. Then he said, Jesus said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up their cross and follow me. Luke 9, 23 and 4. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. Gospel Luke, keep on talking to us. Luke 14, 27. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Being obedient to the Lord, it's going to come with a cost. Matthew 10, 37 through 9, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's why I say you're going to lose some friends and family. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. All I'm stopping by here to say is there's a cost to discipleship. There's a cost to following Jesus. There's a cost to doing what the Lord has asked you to do. But can I remind somebody? Can I remind somebody up in here? They that wait upon the Lord shall, yeah, come on, help me somebody, renew. As I transition to this last and final point, despite the challenges that Jeremiah faced, God's faithfulness was still there. God's faithfulness didn't go anywhere. Jeremiah did and said what he had to say. He did what he had to do, and then he looked around and he in some mud. And he's in the bottom of a cistern that he had to be let down in. And this brings me to my last point, is that the faithfulness of God is always going to deliver his servants. If you serving God, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where, but God will deliver you. Amen. If you're standing on his word. Amen. God will deliver you if you are standing on his word. Amen. Though Jeremiah was thrown in a cistern, come to Sunday school and figure out the rest of the story next Sunday morning. But though Jeremiah was thrown in a cistern, I'm just going to give you a little hint. God raised up an Ethiopian. He raised up somebody that spoke up on his behalf, in spite of the officials turning their back on him, in spite of him being thrown, there was rescue available for Jeremiah. Just like they took some cloths to let him down, somebody got some other rags and dirty rags to lift him back up. And I want to let you know, God will deliver on today. God delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt through Moses. When Pharaoh's army pursued them, God parted the Red Sea, allowing the Israelites to pass through on dry ground. The sea then closed over the Egyptian army, demonstrating God's mighty power to save. Stop by today to say God will deliver. He delivered David. King Saul repeatedly tried to kill David because he was jealous. Folks started singing songs about David that were better than songs about Saul. But God protected David through his various ways, including the help of Jonathan, Saul's son Jonathan, through David's own wise actions. David later acknowledged God's deliverance in many of his songs. Every now and then, you just need to write down how God has brought you out. I stop by to let you know that God will deliver. Peter was freed from prison. If you look in Acts chapter 12, 1 through 11, you'll find out how God delivered Peter. Peter was imprisoned by King Herod, but the church prayed earnestly for him. While he was locked up, the church was praying. Church wasn't gossiping. Church wasn't talking about. They wasn't sending a card. The church was praying while Peter was locked up. You know what happened, church? The angel of the Lord appeared, freed him from the chains, and led him safely out of prison, showing God's power, power when the church is praying. I stop by to tell you that God will deliver. Yeah, God delivered the children from Egypt. Children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt. God will deliver. God delivered David when he was messing around and Saul, yeah, got jealous. And even when Peter was in prison, yeah, he loosed the chains that had him bound. But what I'm glad about, the greatest deliverance in Scripture, yeah, is spiritual. Loose them spiritual chains. Can I talk about Jesus? Can I talk about my big brother Jesus? Yes. God delivered and rescued you and me from the power of sin and eternal death. Yes. God is a deliverer. God loved you so much that he sent Jesus, and believers are transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the light. God is faithful, I tell you. God is faithful. And if you just open your Bible in Genesis 1:1, you ain't got to go much further, but please keep on reading. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That means God has it in his hands. And just like he has heaven and earth in his hands, he's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, sister, all in his hands. Well, I'm through now. And all I'm trying to say is God's faithful. God is faithful. Stand firm in the midst of your opposition. Jeremiah's experience in this cistern serves as a powerful reminder of courage and the cost. But God will be faithful. He will be faithful for those who are walking in his will and his way. So as you face your own challenges, as you are thrown in your own cisterns and wells and sunken in the mud, God will deliver. God will lift you out. I am inspired. Let us be inspired by Jeremiah's example and remain faithful to the call that God has for us. Be strong, my brother. Be strong, my sister. In the face of opposition, if you praise him when ain't nothing going on, really, really, really praise him when you got chaos and everything is falling apart. My Bible said, let everything that have breath praise ye. Let everything that have breath praise him. If you got one hand, praise him. If you got two, praise him. He's been just that good. He's been just that good. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord. It's all right. Praise him. Hey, 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 hey. Praise him. He's worthy. Stand firm in the midst of opposition. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for sharing. Thank you for an extra few minutes on today. God is able to keep you. God is able to sustain you through it all. All you have to do is trust him. Give me a little bit. I don't want to mess up our musician and get in a key. Praise him. Could you just give me a little bit of that? You know about where I am? But I want to invite somebody. In the midst of your trials and tribulations, those who are believers, you just go ahead and praise him. Look at what God has brought you out. How he's delivered you and how he is delivering you. Don't let anybody stop your praise, no matter what cisterns you were in. You go ahead and praise him. Lift him up, because he's worthy. He's worthy, church. He's worthy to be praised. If you know it, can you lift it up? Oh, praise him.
Praise him.
Or from the rising. Him. Even when friends leave you, praise him. He's worthy. Oh, yes, be. Is there one, my brother, my sister, that have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? You realize that you have missed the mark with God. You need a Savior. You need Jesus, who's the atonement for your sins. Someone who can stand in the gap for you. If you believe that Jesus stands in the gap for you with God and make you right and you're covered by his blood, we want to invite you to accept him as your Lord and your Savior. Lord means your King, your ruler. Savior as your atonement. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? You can come down. You can raise your hand. You can come down. If there's one on today, you would like to give your life to Jesus. Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? On today. If there's one that does not have a church home, we want to invite you to come in. You come by letter from a previous church, or you come on your Christian experience. Is there one that would like to connect with this body of believers? Is there one, my brother? Is there one, my sister? Is there one on today? Is there one? Be praised. Oh, praise him. Is there one? Say thank you for your word. We thank you for you touching Jeremiah's tongue to speak a word for the people and warn them to surrender, but they decided and looked at it differently. But God, we know that you are faithful. You're loving and forgiving, God, and you will deliver us in the midst of all of our trials and tribulations. So teach us, O Lord, to lean and depend on you and walk in obedience. Now by the grace of God, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with each and every one of us. Let us all say together, amen. 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 Go with God and go in peace.